snow in the air. Terry Merrill, when we started our back broadcasting for our 10th season here at Stroud's Barbecue, that first Thursday in August, it was 99 degrees, and we were complaining about how hot it was. Well, today we're complaining about how cold it is. Is there a happy medium?
As Gilda Radner said, Stormy, it's always something. Right? Here we are, 25-degree wind chill tonight. Finally, football weather. Well, even, I don't know if this is football weather or not, but...
Boy, yep. Bob, it's bobsledding weather.
Yeah.
Tennessee. Hey, we got fortunate. I had a dear friend in Jackson. She sent me a picture last night, and it was snow on the ground. About 2 inches of snow on the ground behind her condo, and I went, oh, man, that's so good. But, hey, it's not snowing here right now, and if you don't want to deal with dinner tonight, call 615-595-0200. Marshall and crew will answer the phone. They'll have your order rip-roaring, ready to go. You can come through the drive. You don't even have to come through. If you do, we'll sign autographs free till 6 o'clock, and, well, you can feed a family before $15.99 right here at Stroud's Barbecue. Terry, you've got some additional information about those that love to have their turkeys cooked the Stroud's way.
Well, Stormy, who wants to cook on Thanksgiving? I mean,
well,
come on, right?
Unfortunately, I have to.
Well, many of us do, but here's the deal. You just want to take the easy way out and have a good turkey. Bring your turkey thawed here at Stroud's by Monday of next week, and then you pick it up anytime Wednesday before 4 o'clock. They'll do it for you, and it's the best. I mean, they know what they're doing when they cook turkeys here, Stormy. We've seen it. We've eaten it before.
Yes, we have.
So that's a thought. And you can get your other side items to go with that.
Your cheese, potato salad.
Yep.
Oh, my word.
Yep.
Baked beans.
And baked
cornbread.
All that stuff. Yeah, they'll do it all for you here, and then you can just take it home. And also, Stormy, on top of that, we got several big, big high school football games tomorrow night.
And
if you're a Ravenwood supporter, you're going to Brentwood tomorrow night. Stop here at Stroud's. You're going to tailgate. The temperature is going to be better tomorrow night.
About 58.
Yep. That's right.
Very tall.
A lot of tailgating, or if you're going over to Fairview to watch the Yellow Jackets in Stratford, or if you're going right here behind us and watch BGA host FRA, and you don't want to mess around and you just want to have a good time and tailgate, come by Stroud, pick it up. They'll fix you up no matter how many people you have. Stormy, they do it right. 5,000 to 5,000 people, that's their motto here at Stroud.
And that's true.
Yep.
And we've seen them do it. Well, we've got Tank Starr coming tonight, and we've also got Avery Williams and Coach Ryan Crawford. I'll be curious to see what the speedster and the big lineman order tonight. A lot of times they'll get those barbecue nachos. Sometimes they'll get the big barbecue burrito, the barbecue plate. But whatever the menu item is here at Stroud's, it's always good. My son said, Dad, don't forget the Stroud's. I said, Wesley, I won't forget that.
That's why we do this, Stormy, so we can eat here every night. No, just kidding.
It's good stuff.
Yeah, it is. But anyway, yeah, Ron Crawford, of course, Brentwood, a huge quarterfinal tomorrow night. And if you've been out of the country, TSSAA playoffs are going on quarterfinals tomorrow night in most places, although BGA and FRA, that's a semifinal in Division II. But we'll get Coach Crawford's breakdown on that rematch of the Raptors and Stormy. They both last week, and we'll talk about that, had heart-stopping finishes in both those games.
They sure did. And let's not also forget our friends to the North. CPA is hosting Wauzan out of Memphis. And I'll tell you how things changed when I left Memphis in 92. Wauzan was a girls' school.
Yeah.
Excuse me. And I heard they're playing football in the years back, and I went, wait, are they playing Powerpuff football? Well, they won back-to-back state championships. That's how good Wauzan.
Stormy, I was going to ask you, I read this, and I was going to confirm this with you. According to what I read, Wauzan has been in existence as we know it now, only for 12 years. Does that sound right?
Yes.
And they've also got the Mr. Football in Division II for the last 2 years, Eric Gray. He's a running back.
Yes.
And he's going to Michigan, 2,600 yards rushing. And you know, what a matchup that's going to be with he and the Patterson kid at CPA tomorrow night.
Mr. Kane Patterson better have a big night. I went on the line and picked the Lions, CPA Lions.
Well, I mean,
Eldridge is quarterback. You got to watch him. Home for over 2,800 yards, 36 touchdowns. I think only 3 interceptions. The QB at CPA can fling it too.
He can. That's going to be a great football game. It really is. Tony, we've got Mr. Football is down to 3 finalists in each class this week, and we have 2 in Williamson County that we sure want to mention. First of all, in Class 3A, Cam Harris-Lusk, he's done it all for Chris Hughes' team. Get these numbers. He has rushed for 710 yards, 16 touchdowns on the ground. He has received, he's caught 64 passes, 949 yards and 15 touchdowns. Total all-purpose yardage, just a shade under 1,700 yards, 31 touchdowns. And Chris Hughes will tell you right now that Cam Harris-Lusk is the backbone of this football team, along with 2 or 3 other players. But congratulations to him. him. He's in the finals with a kid from Alcoa named Walker Russell and Xavier Shepard, locally from Pearl Cone High School. And Stormy, I think he's got a real good shot to win that thing.
I do too. We've had the pleasure of interviewing that young man. He's a senior now. And he came over here, I remember it was 3.5 years ago. He showed up here in Stroud, didn't weigh to more than a buck 32, soaking wet. And he ate an entire barbecue burrito and some banana pudding. I think he'd weighed in about a buck 35 after that. But the young man played quarterback for him with Chris Hughes. And for 3 years, he played quarterback. His brother was running back. They both played in the defensive backfield. Term versatile does not even begin to describe what a great athlete this young man. He's also the starting point guard for the Yellow Jackets in basketball. And, of course, he's not getting a lot of basketball practice right now. And the team's going to be, you know, I know the team wants them to win, but it's going to be a while before he gets back in, on the basketball court.
Tell me, you know, he might be the most versatile athlete in Williamson County. We could feel pretty good at making that statement, I believe.
I'm trying to think who else. I'm just trying to think who else could do what he does.
That's right.
Well, the answer is I don't know.
We wish him well. That will be announced, I believe, November 25th as we approach the Blue Cross Bowl. Now, in Class 6A, we also have a Williamson County player, T.J. Sheffield from Independence High School. He's in the running with Xavier Myers, that good running back at Oakland, and also Devon Starling, we know very well from Cane Ridge, does everything.
He's not playing anymore because they got eliminated.
That's true.
I'm sorry.
So is that a factor? We'll see.
Isn't that great? All the way with fans. Well, I'm not sure they like that.
Yeah, he's out. Numbers on the Sheffield, he caught 75 passes this year, 1,550 yards and 16 touchdowns. Stormy, what an athlete and what a prize that Purdue's going to get next year. He's going to Purdue University.
The question is his coach is recruiting him still going to be there? Is his coach going to go to Louisville?
Well, rumor is Jeff Brohm, the head coach at Purdue, is going to Louisville because that's his home. He was an assistant coach there at above at Petrino, as we all know.
Quarterback there.
That's right. And so, you know, if you want to go home again, there's his opportunity because he's going to get offered the job.
Has TJ signed with Purdue yet? Because I don't
know. No, signing day is early December, the early signing day.
Okay.
So he's committed. He hadn't signed yet. Nobody's signed
yet. So there's a chance he could be playing in the Papa John Stadium up there for the Cardinals.
Well, yeah. He can still sign with anybody.
Because I love Purdue. I think they've a good job. They're underrated, obviously, in the Big Ten each year. I sure enjoy watching them play when they beat the devil out of Ohio State about 3 weeks ago. Wasn't that enjoyable?
That was a great day.
That was almost as good as eating some Stroud's banana pudding.
Yes, it was. But at any rate, good luck to T.J. Sheffield, also Cam Harris-Lusk and their Mr. Football Pursuit, both very deserving. We've seen them play Stormy now for, what, 3 or 4 years apiece, and just outstanding and outstanding young man. Scott Blade will tell you that T.J. Sheffield is a good person and an outstanding individual.
I had the privilege and the pleasure, and I apologize, someone's trying to call on this line. It's obviously, they don't know we're on there, but it'll go away in a minute.
Are we still on?
Yeah, we're good. I had the privilege and the pleasure of interviewing TJ not on a radio show, but just off the air one day at a 7-on-7.
Mm-hmm.
And this young man, yes sir, no sir, please, I mean, just everything, the well-mannered, articulate, obviously great athlete, but I was more impressed with his demeanor off the field than I was his superior athletic ability on the field, and that's saying a lot.
Yeah.
And really, the same can go for Cam Harris-Lusk.
And that's what both his coaches will talk about first is the character of each of these two guys, because we know Scott Blade and Chris Hughes. If that's not true, they won't tell us that. So and from what we've seen, we've had them, as you said, and they're good kids. So we hope they do well. Join me last week. We had two nail biters in local teams in Class 6A. Let's take a look at the game you did, and we'll be talking about that in more depth with Coach Crawford. But just real briefly, Brentwood 27-24 over Independence in two overtimes, and you and Marcus got your money's worth last Friday night.
Man, that ball game back and forth, and Brentwood kept arising to the occasion. They stopped Indy on that first drive. Indy goes down in about four plays, gets it first and goal from the six, and can't punch it in. And I thought that was a momentum swing. It's 17-7 at halftime. It looked like it's all brewing. And then Coach Blade changes his game plan from they had thrown the ball 23 times and only completed six passes in the the first half. He comes out running the ball. We're going, wait, what? And Ty Jackson, number 27, is carrying the mail for Independence, and then they're scoring. And all of a sudden, they go down and score, they get with one. And then to make it even more exciting, Independence comes out and scores in the last 30 seconds to tie it up, go in overtime. And, of course, it was decided in overtime, and it was just one of those ball games you hated to see either team lose.
Yeah, that's very true. Stormy, these numbers on Ethan Cash, a little uncharacteristic. Only 11 completions out of 30 attempts, 235 yards, and two touchdowns. Those numbers are not indicative of the way that offense ran during the season.
He had T.J. Sheffield two times open. I mean, just an average throw would have been a touchdown. And Isaiah Collier three times on a deep slant, crossed it wide open, and overthrew him all three times. I'm telling you, those are five touchdowns they left on the field. And I know Scott was just beside himself because and there was a you could hear the sigh of relief on the Brentwood side of the field. But Nathan would just did not have his night. But still had. But the reason he was doing that, the Brentwood group man up front, Morales, he had Tank Star of the bunch. I'm telling you, they were applying pressure upon pressure upon pressure. Ethan Cash did not have time to set his feet.
So was the difference, and I was going to ask Coach Crawford this too, but the difference in that last Friday night and the first time they played back in September was the difference in the fact that there was more pressure on Cash in the passing game?
Yes. Obviously, we didn't do the game of their first one. The final score was 42-31. Independence had their – they just – when they were on a roll. When they get on a roll, they can score a lot of points. They just weren't able to get in rhythm of the night, and the reason they weren't was the applied defensive pressure from the Bruins.
So it'll be Brentwood at home, quarterfinal action tomorrow night. You can hear that game on AM 950 with Stormy and Marcus Stone. And let's talk about the other part of that bracket, Stormy. And, man, this was a classic. Ravenwood 43-36 over undefeated and third-ranked Cane Ridge. Ravenwood 29 points in the fourth quarter, and the winning touchdown was with 5 seconds left. And what can I say? That was a heck of a football game, and again another example of the character that we have seen and their ability to come from behind. And I'm talking about Ravenwood, of course, this season.
And they've done it time after time after time again. Trailing was it 22-6?
Yes, middle of the third quarter.
And absolutely. How do you put 29 points on Cane Ridge? Has played 5 or 6 games where they didn't allow 29 points.
Exactly.
But there's no quit in Mr. Garcia, who's been the Gateway Player of the Week twice this year. Coach, just one of those ball games. We just had a feeling if Ravenwood was going to catch them, and they're playing at Cane Ridge in front of but I tell you what was really nice for Ravenwood. Ravenwood had almost three times more many fans at Cane Ridge as did Cane Ridge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they encouraged them and cheered them on.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I tell you, you played, that makes a difference.
It does. Both teams had over 400 yards total offense. 444 for Ravenwood, 446 for Cane Ridge. Just a shootout. Garcia, 11 of 21, 210 yards and 5 touchdowns. We don't talk about, for whatever reason, we don't talk a lot about Tony Rice. 19 carries, 114 yards. The thing you got to like about Ravenwood's offense is they're well balanced. They do both. They run and they throw.
Well, you got the William Blaine kid, and you got Tony Rice. Of course, you got Garcia. And boy, I tell you, we just saw two young men walk in. They look hungry. I think we're going to have to see them. Why don't y'all go up there and place your order? Tell them you're with us. Coach Crawford comes in.
He got their Brentwood shirts on.
He's flexing his muscles. He's ready to go. I'm telling you, Terry, let's put Coach down here a minute.
You want to set him down here? You want to take a break first?
Let's take about a 2-minute break, because I think that's what's going to take for us to get wound up, rip-roaring, ready to go, take care of Coach Ron Crawford here. Keelan, 2 minutes. This is Coach Crawford. We'll be back in two.
Right here in Williamson County, you can feed a family of four for $15.99 at Stroud's Barbecue. That includes 1 pound of pork or pulled chicken, buns, and a pint of a side item. Throw in a half gallon of tea or lemonade at Stroud's Barbecue. Right here in Williamson County, you can feed a family of four for $15.99. 615-595-0200. Open 7 to 8 Monday through Saturday and 7 to 6 on Sunday. That's Stroud's Barbecue right here in Williamson County.
Hey, this is Stormy Mitchell, and I want to cordially invite you to the church at West Franklin. You'll be greeted with a warm smile, firm handshake, some of the best coffee in town, excellent music, and some of the finest preaching this side of heaven. The church is located at 700 New Highway 96 West. If you can't make it, tune in to WAKM on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. and listen to the church service. The preaching will be done by Dr. Matt Pearson from the church at West Franklin.
J. Just as WAKM is our hometown radio station, Franklin Synergy Bank is your hometown bank. I'm community banker Will Powell. Just like you, I live in this community, and we are neighbor helping neighbor. Franklin Synergy Bank is locally owned and locally managed with a desire to see our community, as well as those around us, succeed and prosper. At Franklin Synergy, we would welcome the opportunity to earn your banking business. If you're looking for a financial institution to call your hometown bank, give us a call or stop by one of our 11 locations in Williamson or Rutherford County and talk with us. We are strong. We are local. We are Franklin Synergy Bank.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
I'm Richard Harrington, president of Franklin Synergy Bank. And from our banking team, I want to thank all of our customers for their patronage and their support of our bank.
We are back. This is Stormy Mitchell. I'm with Terry Merrill. We've got Coach Ryan Crawford from the Brentwood Bruins. Terry, he only comes down here because of the barbecue. You know that.
Well, it's certainly not us, Stormy, but at any rate, we're glad to have him here tonight. And, of course, Brentwood, we were talking about big quarterfinal game with Ravenwood tomorrow night. Coach, welcome to the show. We appreciate you taking the time with us tonight.
Thank you. Glad to be here. You know, y'all feed me, and you've been nice to me for 14 years, so not a bad gig.
Well, we had a three-year interval there, but it seems like I can't even remember it now, but the good news is you're back with us, and it wasn't the same while you were gone, though.
Well,
that's an understatement.
I don't know if that's good or bad. You didn't say it wasn't. It was worse. You just said it wasn't the same.
Well, no, I meant that in a good way. Coach, last week, big win over Independence last week, and one thing I wanted to ask you was just talk about the way your team played, and what was the difference in this game last week versus the first time when you all lost to Independence?
I think, you know, you can get fooled sometimes by film. So when you have a common opponent like a region game, you know what, when we went back and watched the 2017 tape of the game, you know, we were able to do what we do. We were able to play our coverage. You know, we did blitz their protection a couple of ways with CJ to get him free, CJ Grissom from last year. And we were, you know, we just were able to do what we do hammer them. And then in the first game, we weren't able to do that. You know, we had to make adjustments during the game. Even as poorly as we played, it was really good players from Independence making good plays. The one I would take from that game was when we went prevent, and the Montgomery kid, I think his name, broke the long run. That was the one that was probably inexcusable. And then we just challenged it half, and we did play well in the second half. And we, you know, got back to almost making it a one-score game. So our goal coming into it was to lighten the box, to put more emphasis on coverage, to play an additional defensive back. Still try to play within our system as much as we can, could. And I think we ended up playing 40 snaps of that particular package the other night. And, you know, if you told me we could go scoreless in the second half and beat that team, I would tell you you're crazy. But our kids just did a really good job of executing our plan.
It was fun to watch your defense and how they just seemed like, and the best word I can use is contained. You don't stop Independence, but you contain them. And of course, they had that last drive to get the ball game tied. I thought Morales played a ball game, but was there anything different on your setup with them than the first game?
Yeah, I mean, we played another safety, like I said, and still was able to play our coverages that we had and then still protect the middle of the field, you know. They caught us the first time when they had Sheffield in the backfield. They caught us the first time.
Real route, yeah.
First perfect call, first coverage we had called. And, you know, that happened to football. You know, sometimes we call good offensive plays too. So, you know, I think that we did. That was our goal. It was our goal to, you know, limit their big plays. And we did that, except for, obviously, TJ's big catch out of the backfield. We did a great job of that. He went from, I think, 10 catches, 300 yards, to 4 catches, 115, and 77 of that was on one play. So, we were able to accomplish that. What happened on the last play was they've never put him in the slot.
Right.
They put him in the slot, and we all jumped his route, and we left the other receiver open, and give their quarterback credit. He had some patience, found him, and, you know, put us into overtime. So it was quite a fun game, particularly for us. But the battle, I think, we expected.
I'm glad you explained that because I had not seen him in the slot all night. I had him lined up outside and in the back. And the kid number 11, I don't think he caught a ball all night till the last play.
Right. Yeah, taking three all year, I think.
Wow. It was crazy, but that was – look up, and he's 30 yards in front of everybody. I almost did he come in from the sidelines. It was almost one of those.
We felt really confident in going that series that we could, you know, get a stop. And, the thing that got him back in it was our inability to convert two fourth down and ones. And I think we got one of them. I really do. But, you know, it's difficult to spot. I'm not blaming the officials. We should have left no doubt there. Don't make it close. And not being able to get those two put us in a bind and having to play extra snaps on defense.
I think the one at the 50-yard line, from my vantage point, because you're right in front of us, I thought he had it.
They're closer than we are, so what do you say?
Well, I thought he had it. That's what I said.
He thought he had it. Ron Crawford visits with us. Brent Wood hosting Ravenwood tomorrow night. We'll get to Ravenwood in a second. Coach, I wanted to ask you about those overtimes last week. First play, each team in the first overtime. Then in that second overtime, you all scored first, I believe. But does it become somewhat of a chess match when you get down to the nitty-gritty of an overtime? And also, Cash fumbled the football. Were you expecting what he did on that particular play, or did it just happen to come down that way?
Well, I think that, you know, we've not played an overtime game this year. I think it was Memphis Central 2 years ago. Tank and Avery are here with us. I think it was the Central game 2 years ago.
At Crump Stadium. Thank you. That's good memories.
And that was a double overtime game, I believe. Carter McKechnie, I think, played for the first time that night. And, obviously you select defense first because you know what you have to do, you know. And it's hard to stop somebody from the 10-yard line. But I like our overtime rules because it can go fast. So, obviously, you know where you are. We scored quickly. We really debated briefly going ahead and going for two right then because we thought we kind of had them on their heels with the formation we were utilizing. But we just, man, wanted to play a little bit longer. You know, we didn't want to end it right there because we thought we had a chance. So, when they held us and made us kick the field goal, you know what you got to do. You either got to hold them to the field goal or you got to create a turnover. And they lined up in their unbalanced formation and we had worked on it. Our kids adjusted well. When they'd send TJ earlier in the game, they'd run a jet sweep on fourth down and we stopped them. So they just came back out of there with a speed option. And we felt like we had a good alignment and our kids didn't react. They just stayed where they were and played the coverage they were. And it was pretty big play from our side for sure.
That's the first time, and I think I've done three ball games of both years, that's the first time I saw Independence run the option to the left on that tight play. They always went to the right. Who made the hit for Brentwood to cause it? Because they hit him in the elbow because he had the ball in his right hand. He was about to pitch it. Who hit his elbow?
Jack Wells, our outside linebacker, who has quarterback in that instance. And the thing about those calls is I'm sure Scott's second-guessing himself or maybe not, but I think we all do as coaches. You know, here's the thing about making a play call. When it works, you seem so smart. You know, and when it doesn't, I think all the $8 ticket holders will tell you how dumb you are. So I think you have a feeling about a play sometimes, something you hadn't shown that you practiced, and it worked well in practice. And it was a great change-up.
Yeah, and, it really was. We run it all day.
We responded well.
Because on the first play, when Indy had the ball, when they got it, they had the ball first. That's true. At first, Cash scored on a busted play. He dropped back, and it seemed like the cover just went, everybody went to the outside, and Red Sea opened, and he just tried an end zone.
Did a great job running the ball for him. You know, that was our game plan, was to force them to run the football. You know, we really wanted to encourage them to run the football, and we were able to do that. You know, we went from 22 out of 34 for almost 500 yards in our first game to 11 out of 30 for 180 yards in the second game. So the goal that we had and what we wanted to improve on, we did.
Did you make any changes at halftime? Because at halftime, that's my recollection, Indy only had 6 completions at half. What adjustment did you make?
Keep doing what you're doing. We didn't feel badly. You know, we felt like we were in pretty good position. We talked about some things that they had done to give us trouble. Talked about TJ in the backfield, what that meant to us. And then when they put, you know, Collier and Bishop to one side, how we were going to play that coverage to them. So it was able to clear up some personnel and some groupings they had.
Coach, your defense, when you started the season, you lost quite a few people off your defensive unit last year. Tell us about their progress this season and how they've grown since you started in preseason camp.
14 out of our 15 top tacklers last year graduated, and we moved that guy to offense. So that's how smart we are. But we really made a swap. You know, we thanks to Dynamic, thanks to ours, the Dynamic play player for us. And, you know, he had played offensive line his sophomore and junior years, a two-year starter. You know, he just he fits the profile of what we need in the defensive line. And, you know, Clay was willing to go over and McCarty was willing to go over and major in offense. And he gave us the opportunity to develop some young linemen. And it gave us an opportunity to have, you know, we lost a Myers kid to graduation. You know, if you can have some speed on your D-line, we don't usually take just tough kids and put them up there. So that was our thinking of it. We were kind of swapping to get Tank on defense. And you know, we're a fundamental team. We're a system team. We believe in playing defense, not defenses. So, you know, we're gonna do what we do and try to get better at it. We're gonna try to tweak some things each and every week to try to get better. But we believe in fundamental football, and we're not a big scheme team. So, you know, we've improved in our tackling. We've improved in creating turnovers throughout the year. So, I'm proud of the progress we've made.
Tell our listeners about sophomore quarterback Granzo.
I think where Cade's really, really improved is with his running ability. You know, we really didn't use him much as a runner until week 5, which was our Ravenwood game early in the year. And then there were some games we tried to preserve him. But now with, you know, Jordan being banged up and using Michael Burke, you know, in our system, we'd like to have a quarterback that can run the football because it's just difficult to defend, you know, because we still feel like we have the ability to stretch the field. But he's done a nice job, no doubt, you know. Sometimes, you know, he struggles with concepts in the passing game. And I'll tell you the thing he never struggles at, that's competing. He competes really, really hard. We try to do some things, you know. We try to use Avery Williams as a running back by throwing fast screens and getting him the ball, you know, quickly, something we know we can get it to him. So, you know, we've done some things we think can help Cade. And, again, super competitive. Done a great job running the football, just adding to, you know, our passing game and our running backs.
Also, tell the listeners about Michael Burke, an unheralded. He came in. He's played like a stud.
I think Tank and Avery would tell you the same thing. You know, I think every player on our team loves Michael. As a junior, he played behind Grant Yoakum. And the reason we played Michael behind Grant Yoakum was because Grant was always hurt. So we thought, well, this will be good. Michael will get a bunch of reps. In his junior year, you know, Grant didn't miss a game. And so Michael got limited reps as a junior, and he probably could have gone to safety and started. He probably could have gone outside linebacker and started. You know, so that's difficult when you see a kid like that, you know, probably ought to be on the field. But he's a great contributor. He's a special teamer. Came back this year. We moved Carter to our B receiver, and really we used Michael as a running back with Jordan, a Wildcat quarterback, and he also knows the B receiver position where Carter McKechnie plays. Never once did he complain. Never once did I have to have a meeting, with his parents. He always did it for the right reasons to help his teammates. And Avery and Tank will tell you, you know, we've got a bunch of seniors that have done that this year. Those two guys have gotten a lot of accolades and well-deserved, but they'll also tell you there's a lot of their classmates that have been great teammates and great team players and done what's asked of them. And that's getting hard. That's hard to do nowadays. Very unselfish. And when you see a guy like that have success at the end, I don't think anybody was happier for him than his senior teammates.
How important, and I already know the answer, but I want you to say for our listeners, how important is it to have a congruent squad where there's it's not about me, it's about the team?
Well, I think we fight that now. I mean, I think because, you know, kids start transferring an 8-year-old T-ball when they don't like Mr. Terry's team, they're going to go and play Mr. Stormy's team. And then, you know, AAU basketball, same thing. I'm not getting used right. So they learn that at an early age. And it comes from the top down. You know, it comes from the NFL to college football. And you want your playmakers to want the ball. You know,
that's
you
right.
want them.
That's true.
And we're the same thing. Like Avery Williams needs to touch the ball.
I agree.
And sometimes we get it halftime and Avery's touched it once. Man, we got to get it to him. You know, so how can you get it to him? You know, that's the deal. And when you're a known commodity, people do things to take you away. Pardon me. So what I think is we've got to re-educate our community. You know, that's what we have to do is re-educate our communities and let them understand and be a part of the process, and it will all work out. It works out for the most part all the time. If you'll just trust in the process and believe in the process, good things will happen. And to do that, you know, you got to persevere, man. You got to do things that aren't fun sometimes. You got to do things that not in your best interest sometimes. But they're in the best interest of the team. So I think it's educating our communities and continue to educate our ball players. And, you know, this year's senior group, I really believe our entire team cares about them. They've done just such a great job of being good teammates to our younger players. That the compliment to them is they've been great teammates. You know, it's been great to see them have some success.
Terry, let me ask this one other question before we'll do this, then I will come back and we'll take a break in that. Of all your years of coaching at Brentwood, if you had more of an, and expound on it, more of an emotional upheaval year, I mean, with the loss of a great player?
Probably not. I think that has been, difficult for all of us and difficult in a leadership position because you always want to do and say the right things to your players. With that being said, they also got to see your side of being a human being and letting them know you don't have the answers. So for us, it's been about, creating a great, memory and to create, to play with great effort. There's something unique about this group of guys we got and the fact that, and we have gutted out a lot of games. Different players have made big plays for us at big times. I don't want to quit practicing. I want to keep practicing because I don't want this group to go away. I want to keep practicing with these guys because they just do what we ask and they do it the best of their ability. And we have good guys, good practice well. We want to, we're writing a great story. The 2018 Bruins are. It's full of sadness. It's full of joy. It's full of emotion. And, as far as the staff, we've already decided who will play us in a movie. Obviously, Jason Statham will play head coach Ron Crawford. Edward Norton will be offensive coordinator Clint Finch. So, we've already got some, and some of the guys have jumped into that. So I think that, letting our guys understand how much we appreciate them. We want to continue to be able to coach them. We're so proud of them.
Well, I have one request. If you don't mind, I'd prefer playing myself because I don't think there's a character out there that could play.
I think we could get a cameo for you in the movie. There's no doubt. But I think for this movie to be made, we probably need to be practicing a couple more weeks.
Okay, I agree. Is there anything more fun than practicing on Thanksgiving?
Man, every day is fun for me practicing. If you're a high school football coach and you're in it for the games, you're gonna have a lot of days you don't like. But we practice all the time, and I tell our players and our parents when I first meet them that they're used to coming from middle school and youth ball when practice gets canceled. And if you ever hear practice canceled at Brentwood High School, find out what hospital I'm in, because we you don't get any better if you don't practice.
That's right. Let's do this, Terry. I know you got a couple questions. Hold those thoughts. Keelan Fisher's on the board in Studio A tonight. Coach's Corner Plows Barbecue. Keelan, let's go ahead and take a quick 2-minute break. We'll come back. The players are in. There's no food left. They're really enjoying some Sprouse Barbecue. Here, let's take 2 minutes. This is sports on AM 950.
Enhance the beauty of your home with tile from Floors on Mallory Lane in Cool Springs. See Matt Gaudioso at Floors.
Everybody puts tile in bathrooms, kitchens, all wet areas. Back in the day, you used to see people put hardwood in bathrooms, especially in the powder rooms. Not anymore. Another product that's really popular is vinyl plank. Vinyl plank is probably the hottest product on the market now. And it comes in wood plank visuals, which would be called luxury vinyl plank, or tile, which was luxury vinyl tile. We're at 1731 Mallory Lane, right behind the Krispy Kreme and Cracker Barrel.
Matthews Team Sports is your full-service team sporting goods dealer. Online stores, in-house screen printing, top brands such as Adidas, Under Armour, and Gatorade. We handle teams from middle schools to universities and everything in between. Visit us at MatthewsTeamSports.com. Locally owned and operated, on-time delivery, and customer satisfaction are our top priority. Any sport, any season, any equipment, or any apparel need. Our team is ready to serve your team. Contact us now at MatthewsTeamSports.com.
Flag World has the largest inventory of flags, flag poles, and flag-related merchandise in Middle Tennessee. Hello, I'm Craig Eilerman, owner and operator of Flag World. We are a family-owned business and have been serving Middle Tennessee for over 15 years. We offer a full range of flags and flag-related products, including state, military, historical, outdoor decorative designs, as well as indoor and outdoor flag poles. Our U.S. military and state flags are proudly made in the United States. While at Flag World, please check out our military pin and patch collection that we have carried for many years. We are conveniently located at 401 Cool Springs Boulevard, 1/2 mile west of Interstate 65. You can reach us at 615-778-9791 or visit our website at flagworldamerica.com.
We are back to this corner. We're having a good time as usual at Stroud's Barbecue. Coach Ron Crawford from the Brentwood Bruins, thanks to R and Avery Williams, have just enjoyed. I start to say decimated, but they enjoyed the barbecue, Terry. They ate in front of us. We don't get to eat probably 7 o'clock. My stomach's growling.
Don't
hear that roar. Just that's not thunder and lightning. That's my stomach.
Tell me, don't tell them about the banana pudding.
I did.
We want some for ourselves.
No, I told them to go get some. And it won't slow them down. I promise it won't slow them down, Coach.
That's right. Coach Ron,
the thing about teenagers is they'll go home and eat again tonight, so it's all good.
Oh, well, I wish. It's a big quarterfinal week in Division One, Stormy, and of course Division Two is in semifinals already. But Coach, just another day at the office. You do have one big rival last week, and tomorrow night it's revisiting Chapter Two of the Battle of the Woods. A good football team that had a nail biter of their own last week, you might say. But Ravenwood 43-36 over Cane Ridge. You've seen them once this year back in September. You beat them 31-28. But how about this Ravenwood team now? Just tell us, what areas have they improved in since you all played them in September? What do you see in this team, and what's going to be important tomorrow night?
I mean, I would compliment, you know, Coach Daniels and them guys, as they've played really, really consistently. I think the only probably hiccup they've had all year is the South Warren game. You never know going to Kentucky. They may play different rules or have 12 men. I don't know. We didn't see that film, but, I mean, I'd like to know what they did to hold them to zero. But obviously, probably Ravenwood made some mistakes. But where have they gotten better? Man, I think they're continuing to run the football good. I think their offensive line has improved, and it was already a pretty quality bunch. I think it's the Rice kid, 25. The other kid that's got the Cincinnati offer, I think he's playing better for him. The other end, Shastis, or I don't want to miss that.
Number 11.
Yeah.
Oh, he's, yeah, I got to tell you, 6'6", 225.
Really good.
Next him, and I went, oh, Lord. Junior.
I think the thing they've done is they've been really, really consistent. If you look at their scores, I guess we mirror each other to a great degree. They pulled out some games at the end this year, so I think they're playing with confidence. A junior quarterback that's played a lot of football. He's a confident guy and a competitive guy. Can make plays with his feet. And you know, I think he's really at best in chaos. I think he's better when he's running around. He's either pulling it down or he's finding somebody deep. And that's what I think they do. I think their skill guys are all really, really good. All three receivers. They got a young tight end. That's just a great looking kid. And I think of all of them, him as a sophomore probably has improved the most in his blocking. And then, of course, they got the Bain kid back, so now they kind of got a two-headed monster at running back. So certainly a lot of skill kids on offense and, good schemes on both sides of the ball. They're pretty complete, you know, to be honest with you. They're really a pretty complete football team.
Back with last week in September, updates are relevant. Y'all was running 14-0 early in the first quarter, and all momentum was on the Ravenwood side of the field. But tell us what you said to them, to your players. So I know they don't quit because they got you as the head coach. If I'm not mistaken, was it the screen pass? Was it to Avery? Was that the screen pass you threw back to the?
We got a screen to Jordan. Avery caught a long pass to get us down to get
That's
the
right.
field goal right there. We ran a fade and then put Avery inside and did that. And I think we just usually, when we're in that scenario, we were 14-7 and probably fortunate to be there, is that we just want to revisit the game plan, talk about some things that we can do well, ask the kids how they're feeling, we didn't block those two ends at all the first half, and we did a better, I don't know how much we blocked them all night, but we did a better job in the second half. We maintained possession, but the biggest thing was probably the turnover that Zaire was able to score on. And I just think it's like, tomorrow night, there's going to be ebbs and flows. You know, somebody's going to get ahead, somebody's going to get behind, somebody's got to answer. And to this point, both teams have done that.
What did Zaire see on that interception? It was third quarter.
You can ask Tank and Avery what Zaire sees. I don't know if Zaire knows what Zaire sees. Zaire's, they're both laughing. He's a wonderful personality, man. He really is a great personality. And he's just a football player. He finds himself around the ball quite a bit. I think he's just really, really instinctive. He sees things well, and that's allowed him to be able to make some big plays. He makes some mistakes as well, but he plays with great passion and energy and great effort. And I think just being an instinctive player, he's kind of one of those guys that if you went out and just said, all right, let's play football, you know, the best way to find a linebacker is probably to scrimmage on the first day and whoever keeps getting off the ball, you're the linebacker. I think Zaire would be that guy. Now, did he refresh my bad memory, on the first drive, Indy goes down, got a first and goal to six, and on the fourth down play, did he have the tip?
Yeah, he broke it up.
That's what I'm
trying to remember.
He really is a good defender, a good pass defender as well.
Very good. Coach, when you play a Ravenwood or another county rival like Independence last week, does anything change as far as your preparation from the first time back in September to tomorrow night? Obviously, there's a lot more at stake tomorrow night, but in terms of your preparation for the game itself?
You probably do too much. That's probably the reality. You do too much, and you get something on your mind that you got to solve this, leave something out. So, you know, I think that's probably the most of it. You got to be careful not to overdo it. Be careful not to overplan. Put your premium on execution and not on great calls, you know, because everybody's got – all plays work if they're executed properly. All defenses work if executed properly. So, I mean, it's just a premium on execution.
How do you keep a balance for them emotionally? Because, I mean, obviously, it's the Battle of the Woods, round two, playoff game. Probably 12,000 people going to show up tomorrow night. It's going to be standing room only. How do you balance their emotions, or do you?
You know, I think that if you – you know, I keep thinking that on big games we're going here and, you know, I'll see them all at lunch and they'll all be quiet and they'll be, you know, really into it. But when you realize you walk out there, they're just like they are on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. They're relaxed. You know, they're excited to play the game. And they don't like practice as much as the coaches. So I think they're excited to play the game. And, you know, to be – have been picked third in our league, to win our region, and to, you know, be a step ahead of last year's team, I'm proud of. Now, you know, again, we got our hands full tomorrow night, but, you know, we want to get this thing in the fourth quarter and have a chance to win it so that these guys can practice next week in the mornings and get to practice on Thanksgiving Day, and that's what I want. But our task at hand is to, you know, do everything we can tomorrow night to have a chance to be a good football team.
It's an exciting time. I mean, if you get a region 6-6A, that's doing something. Because you got two big games last week and this week in order to get to Memphis next week. How balanced has this league been this year? I know I ask you that all the time, but 6-6A, has it been as competitive every Friday night as it usually is?
Well, just look at our scores. I mean, I think that's pretty indicative of the balance. And when you look at it, just look, go through and look at all our county schools in Region 6, and you look at the scores of those games, and there's not a dime's worth of difference in the five of them. You know, to be honest with you, every game we played versus our county rivals was a big game, a last-minute win, and then, you know, try to come from behind game, which we made competitive late. So I think it's tremendous, tremendous balance. And so what's difficult about scheduling for next year, you know, is you got we got our league to deal with, and then a huge schedule to try to fill on top of that.
When do we all start doing this schedule?
Yeah, that's something I was going to ask. That very same question, Coach. Last time we had you on the show, you were beginning to get into that a little bit, and you weren't too happy about it. But non-region games, that's what you're working on now, but assume for next year. And how is that going so far?
We're full. Yep. It's going to be NBA, Cane Ridge, CPA, Cookeville, and somebody else really, really good. NBA, CPA, NBA, Cane Ridge, CPA, Cookeville, and I'm probably leaving out a state champion in there somewhere.
Good grief.
No rest for the weary.
Wait a minute. Good grief.
We got to 2019, though, so I mean, let's play tomorrow.
Oh, I know.
I'm thinking.
Yeah, I know. You were that's what you were talking about when we had you on the show. Okay, upper bracket, tell us what you know. Farragut versus Maryville, your thoughts.
Maryville.
Okay. Oakland at Mount Juliet.
Man, that one could be interesting. You know, I know Trey's got an experienced team, but Oakland's so used to being at this point, and you know, Farragut may have a shot. Somebody's going to beat Maryville at some point, and, you know, I think it's four really good game.
Most people say Oakland's going to beat Maryville this time, but you got to win tomorrow night before they get to that point, right?
If they don't beat Mount Juliet, they won't get a chance to play Maryville.
And over in Memphis, the winner of your game tomorrow night, Whitehaven and Germantown. You know anything about those two?
I know I sure would like to drive to Memphis next Friday on a charter bus with 85 kids
and about 13 others filled with fans.
Oh, goodness. Coach, stay with us. Eat your barbecue. We're going to talk with Tank and also Avery here, and we'll get your final comments after you eat your barbecue. How's that?
Thank you.
You want to take a one-minute break?
We can do that.
Keelan, let's take 1 minute. We got players coming. They're full. They're sitting back. They're relaxed. They've had banana pudding. They're going to be amiable. Going to be easy to deal with because we fed them for that. 1 minute break. This is Coach's Corner on AM950.
Hey, everybody. This is Stormy Mitchell, the sports team, and sometimes change is necessary. And recently, I made a change in all my insurance needs by switching over to Farm Bureau. My agent and good friend, Scott Murphy, handled all the details. And in the process, I was able to save even more money on my auto and home insurance. Scott Murphy's Farm Bureau agency is located at 1010 Murfreesboro Road, Suite 126 in the Maple Woods Shopping Center. His local number is 615-794-1104. He's highly decorated with Farm Bureau. He's on the Honor Council, President Award winner, and top 10 agency in the state of Tennessee. For your insurance needs, call my good friend and great supporter of high school sports, Scott Murphy, at 615-794-1104, and be sure to tell him Stormy sent you.
Are back and we're discussing weight. Tank Star just got to ask how much he weighs, and after eating all that trout, Terry, that's an unfair question.
It is, Stormy. But let me mention one thing. I just got this over the wire. Mookie Betts of the Boston Red Sox just voted most valuable player in the American League. How about that?
How about that? There you go. All right. Mookie, the Mookie.
Overton Star, and then we saw him play basketball up there, too. What an athlete he was.
By the way, made Brentwood mad, but he had 28 against Brentwood that night at Brentwood to take him to win the sub-state. He turned his ankle, played three quarters, still had 28 points. And I asked him, I said, boy, you're really good in basketball. I mean, are you going to play at the next level? And he goes, no, actually, I'm a better bowler. And I went,
that's right. And he
was state champion. I went, pardon me, what?
He could bowl professionally. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
He's that good.
But
that's
hey, good. MVP, glad to hear it. One of our young men local, I can do it. Well, we got Tank Star, who just got an offer last night. You want to talk about that?
I briefly got an offer last night with Mercer, and I talked with Coach Kane. He's down there. He's our recruiting area, so I'm going to go down there this weekend, and I'm really excited for that.
Sounds good, but in the meantime, you got the Raptors to deal with. Tell us about the first game over at Ravenwood.
So the first game, we came in ready. It's going to be a shootout, and the first quarter, they drove down the field a little bit, got a touchdown, and so then they got another one. They're up 14-0.
That's right.
At halftime, and so then afterwards, when Zaire got the 6-6, that changed our momentum, and we started rallying from there.
I think this roster says you're 6'2 and 240. Is that accurate?
That is indeed.
When you were a sophomore, so I don't know if you remember this. You were what, about 220 maybe your sophomore year, something like that? Is that right?
Yes, sir.
He's hit the weight, say the least.
No, he hit the banana pudding.
Oh,
no.
Okay.
I'm in trouble. I'm in the corner. I should have said that.
Tell us your thoughts on the Independence game last week. It was a team that you all lost to earlier this season. Of course, you won last week to advance to where you're going to be tomorrow night. But well, and we were talking to Coach about this. I'm sure you heard it. What's it like in this region every single week? You go out and you play an Independence, you play a Ravenwood, you play a Centennial. There's no rest for the weary, right?
Right. So Independence, I feel like, has just come up and is a competing rival against us because our sophomore year, we lost against them 21-20 in the regular season. And then we played them again in the semifinals that year and lost to them 27-24, which was the same score of when we played them this past Friday. And it's kind of ironic, but the rivalry has grown. And last week, it was an intense game. We came in ready. We had a good game plan going. But the last touchdown just made a little mistake, got us into overtime. And it was just really from there, heart pounded. And so once we got the fumble and all the pressure dropped, it was just excitement throughout the night after that.
That was a great moment. That was a great moment. Now, Avery Williams had a big ball game of the night. Tell us, and Coach Crawford mentioned he's been using the kind of on that quick out, the quick slant. It's almost like a running play. I know they taught you some deep routes. What do you have a favorite?
I like to come back a lot. You know, just fake the deep route and then come back to the ball. But I think the whole point of the quick slant or the quick out is to give me the ball as soon as I can and see what I can do in the open field.
How are you working with Granzo? Because they start as a sophomore,
mm-hmm.
and I mean, truthfully, did y'all kind of roll your eyes like, oh great, we got a sophomore quarterback?
Not at all. I love Kay. Kay's a really good guy. I knew he could do it since he was a freshman, since I've seen him play freshman year. But we've been talking with him, hanging out, staying after practice almost every other week, every other day after practice, throwing balls. Make sure the connection is 100% and it shows out there.
And speaking of that, he can fling it.
Oh, my. Yes, he can.
He threw one of them. Wait a minute. There was one of them he threw. I can't remember. And I commented, was, if he'd have put a little touch on it. I can't remember. Was that thrown to you? Was it over the middle?
I think it was.
To Carter? He threw a couple passes. And I thought, oh, my gosh, he almost took the receiver's head off.
Yeah, no. I feel like he's just so used to throwing that baseball as hard as he can.
Yeah.
He just brings it to football. It's a good thing, too. You know, he can get it to you as quickly as possible. But he can really sling that thing.
Sounds good. I know we've played Ravenwood before. What's your recollection of the game with Ravenwood and last?
Ravenwood?
Yeah,
we knew coming in that it was going to be a really hard game, and we didn't take them for granted. Especially since we lost to them last year, we had something to fight for, and we knew that it was just a really important game for us. And throughout the entire game, we kept thinking that, you know, this is a really big game. We don't want to lose this. And after halftime, our coaches kept telling us, keep doing you. This is fine. We've been down at halftime three other times in the season. You know, this is normal to us. So that really helped us, and we just kept pushing through.
What about the rivalry? Yeah, I mean, are you friends with the guys?
Yeah, I'm good friends with them.
I mean, y'all been to scouts together, go to church together.
Yeah,
how much fun and how difficult is that to play someone that you're so well known?
Yeah, no, we're really good friends off the field, but as soon as the clock starts ticking, it's battle time between us. But yeah, we keep it friendly throughout the whole game, so it's never a problem with them. It's just a really fun game.
Matter of fact, I saw several times of what I call great sportsmanship. Somebody make a great play and they lift each other up, pat each other back on the helmet, and you don't see that all.
Yeah, no, you don't anymore. But it's, even though it's a really big rivalry and one of the biggest in the states between us, we always keep it friendly and we always have good sportsmanship.
Sounds good.
As you know, Ravenwood had a big win last week over Cane Ridge, as you all did over Independence. What do you see, and what are the challenges tomorrow night for you as a receiver? And we'll ask Tank the same question from his point of view. But what's going to be important tomorrow night for the offense to move the ball against a very good defense?
Mm-hmm. We just got to take all the opportunities that we can, you know, and whatever we get, we got to take it. And we're going to try to go deep on them, of course. That's what we're probably going to try to do.
And Tank, from a defensive point of view, from a defensive lineman point of view, you know, Ravenwood really has good balance, both throwing the ball and running the ball, as you well know. Does that put more pressure on the defense, really, knowing that they can do either way they want to?
I feel like with the defense, we can handle anything that comes at us as long as we read our keys and just do what we're supposed to do and do our personal job. Because when we do that, then everything works out and play runs smoothly and can go in our favor.
Has anything changed on the film from last week's Ravenwood game versus, say, when you all played them earlier this season, or are they doing pretty much the same thing?
They're doing a little bit more motion, yes, and we just got to sit in there and do our job, but everything else is just getting the same pretty much.
Who's the toughest offensive line you played against this season?
Probably Ravenwood's. Yeah, they're big up front. They push just as hard as you can back, but got to sit in there. Like Grant Barton, he's a good player. He really is, but it's going to be that bad as long as we do what we're supposed to.
All right, one question, and let me do this real quick. This is WAKM AM 950 and in Franklin, Tennessee, and that's our top of the hour break. Keelan, I got that in us all the time. Question, who is on your defensive side of the ball? Who has stepped up this year that you say, oh, wow, did he really play well this year? Somebody that was kind of unheralded this year. Somebody you like to give some kudos to.
Other than Tank Star.
I would like to give kudos to Zaire Howard.
Tell us about him, because Coach had an interesting comment about his play.
This season coming in, I knew we lost like a ton of people on defense, and then him stepping up as starting linebacker, I wasn't really paying attention to his stats because I'm on the field at the same time as him. And so then I watched his highlights, and I was just really blown away by it. He's like always there at the tackle, always giving it all. He just keeps on getting interceptions, like balls, like magnet with his hand somehow. But he's just sitting there. It's mind blowing.
There you go. I was hoping you'd say something about Jared.
Thanks, Darren Avery Williams. Brentwood taking on Ravenwood tomorrow night. It's quarterfinal time in Division II. And Avery, you're both seniors. What's it been like to play for Coach Crawford during your time at Brentwood High School? And I would assume you're going to tell me it's all gone by very fast. And what will you take with you when you leave and graduate from Brentwood about the football experience?
Yeah, it's been amazing, especially this past year. But I feel like Coach Carver, he brings the whole team together as one. I think that's one of the most important things as a team, to be an actual team on and off the field. And he really helps us with that. And he's always there, always coaching us hard. And he's one of the best coaches I've ever had.
What's one thing he says? I know he does defense more. What's one thing he says to you over and over again? It's okay, as long as it's members. He's not paying attention. He's eating.
I mean, yeah, passion and energy, basically. Yeah, that's what you got to play with all the time, and it really helps. And I always keep that in mind.
It's just like radio, Storm, and passion and energy, right?
All our energy is
withering as the years go by.
I've still got, I'm even in my advanced stage. I got both. Well, let me ask the same question, Avery, if you don't mind, about who stepped up for you this year offensively that you kind of didn't see coming?
Offensively? Well, Kate, of course, but I really think Michael Burke stepped up a lot because Jordan Nicholas, our starting running back, he's been on and off hurt all the entire year, last year. And I think Michael's really stepped up playing running back and the slot. And he never complains, like Coach Crawford said. And he's a really smart kid, knows the receiver plays almost better than me, knows the running back plays. I think he's just a really aggressive player, too. He's hard to stop him. He's always fighting for extra yards no matter what. And he can turn anything into something.
Very good. Tell us about number four, Walker Merrill.
Oh, Walker, he stepped up big time, too.
I mean, this kid.
He's gonna be a freak. Him and Cade, especially the sophomores next year and their senior year, they're gonna show a lot of people what Bruma can do.
I noticed that they because returning punts and after he had there was a kind of a position open a couple 2 weeks ago. Mr. Merrill's had more time to practice, not practice, but he's been playing and he's made the play. Sounds good.
Avery, after graduation, though, what are your plans? You want to try? You're gonna visit? Are you visiting? I think Coach told me you're going to Austin Peay. Is that right? Sure. This weekend? Is that right? You want to play on the next level, obviously?
Oh, I do, of course. The whole process has been really hard, but Coach Crawford helps me a lot with it. Coach Evans, also our offensive line coach, and they just make it all easy for me. So I'm just really excited to see what happens. And
see Coach Haley say, go pee. That's the magic word up there.
what would you like to study at Austin Peay? Have you decided yet?
I've been looking into physical therapy or following my dad in the dentistry.
Very good.
He owns his own practice. So
very good.
That'll be really cool.
I still have my feelings from 67.
Oldies but goodies.
Oldies but goodies.
Frank, how about you? You're going to play on the next level, too, and you just got an offer. Tell us about that. And are there other offers that are pending or that you think you might be getting before signing day?
So I just got an offer from Mercer yesterday, and I also have been getting – I got 2 weeks ago from UTC, Butler, and Tennessee Tech. But in college, I'd like to study sports management and be around the sport that I love most, but the process has been good. Coach Evans, Coach Crawford are really good with it. Talk with Coach Evans every day. He's always talking about coaches he's talking to, and he's talking to them every day and just communicating around.
All right, thanks.
I've got one tough question. What's the one thing you're going to take away, each of you individually? What's the one thing you're going to take away from this year? Because it's been, without a doubt, in an emotional year. It's been an upheaval year, up and down, on and off the field. What's the one thing you're going to take away from it, you'll carry with you and say, that you can utilize maybe in 20 years, talk about your children with?
I love the team bonding we have. I love the chemistry we have. We all are together, and we all love each other. And after what happened with Lucas, everyone came even stronger. We all play for each other, and we all love each other. It helps us play.
Well said, Avery. Same question.
Yeah, the only word for that is love, basically. You know, we definitely all came together after Lucas. It definitely made us stronger, and I feel like love makes the team stronger. It's always important, and I'll take that with me in the future.
I can tell you something.
Well said.
As a daddy of three, that touches you right here. That's good stuff. These are great young men, yep, on and off the field. We're just privileged to have you here tonight.
Guys, thanks for coming, and lots of luck tomorrow against Ravenwood and moving forward, and also with the rest of your career, and even after you leave Brentwood, we've enjoyed watching you play, and best of luck tomorrow night.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, y'all, if you want some more banana pudding, go ahead and get some refills, whatever.
Thanks, Art Avery Williams.
Good job, gentlemen. Great job.
They get ready for a big one tomorrow night, and Coach Crawford's going to join us here as we wrap it up. Coach, hey guys, thank you. Good luck.
I tell you what, I got to tell you what, I know we're shaking hands there. I got to tell you something, Coach, that's just a privilege being around young men like that, and you're a part of their process as a difference maker. And I know that's why it's not about football. Football happens to be the vehicle you get to use to be around young men like that.
Well, I'm blessed to coach a bunch of good kids. So let's just be honest. So we got a good community, and I've got great parents involved in our program. And that's just two examples of two kids that's just wonderful. support our program. And I mean, I think also, you know, y'all got to meet Jordan Nicholas and Mark Morales earlier. And obviously, you bring those up here that are seniors that you want to reward. And so it's my fourth year. So those guys, we've been in it 4 years together. So built some great relationships. And Avery bless his heart. He lost a teammate and a grandmother all in about 10 days. So, and some tough life lessons this year. But, you know, I think the strength that comes from that is probably irrefutable for all of us. And just so much more of an appreciation of how fragile life is and how time passes so fastly. You can see our guys just embracing the day. So it's been that's been the positive, I think, that's come out of this thing.
Talking about time passing fast, I still think about that 02 state championship game, your first year at Brentwood High School. What's that, 16 years ago? Austin Everson was the quarterback, I believe, on that team. I mean, where did the time go? 16 years ago. And these guys are husbands and fathers, and I know they still love Ron Crawford, and that's what it's all about in your business. It's got
to
be.
You know, the good thing is I get to see a lot of those guys that come back and visit and make a point to see me. So that's very heartwarming always. I'm very grateful for, you know, Austin's in charge of football recruiting at Vanderbilt University. So, he drops me a note every now and then. I do get to speak to him occasionally. But what a special group that was. And you talk about winning a lot of close games now. Our biggest margin of victory in our five playoff games was in at Germantown. So that was a fun group, no doubt. And Luke Steckel's with the Titans now. And saw Coach Steckel. He came by to see me last week. So, yeah, great memories. It's been a long time. You're right. But, hey, where did the last 40 years go, man?
Oh, you got that right. All right, Ron, tomorrow night, Ravenwood. As Stormy alluded to earlier, it's going to be a sellout crowd, standing room only, one of your main rivals, quarterfinals, and you move on to Memphis if you win. Tell us what you think, or what you know. I shouldn't say what you think. What do you all need to do to really win the football game and come out on top?
I mean, how cool, man, to be able to play this game, you know, this time of year and against a great rival. And man, all I know is we'll fight. I mean, I think our kids will battle like crazy, and they're going to make Ravenwood earn every bit of it. And I know Matt, since he's been there, man, you can just see in the 2 years he's made quite a difference in the way they approach the game and their energy level, their confidence, all the things that he's done to improve that thing, since he took over. And what a great game, the first game. I can't imagine it being anything but a great game this time. And we're facing some challenges. There's no doubt about it, just within our own team, dealing with injury and loss. And so we're not the same team we were at that time. But I do think this is probably the grittiest bunch of kids I've ever been around with. And I'm excited. What we got to do is we need some turnovers like we got the other night at Independence. Those always help. We'd like a few short fields while Santa Claus is listening to our wish list here. but it comes down to, and I stated earlier, you know, it's, and we execute what we do better than they execute what they do. They're great at timely calling a trick play. And they do some things like that. We've got to make sure that we, and then when they get behind, they don't care. They fling it around. And I think Garcia gives them that confidence with his competitive spirit. And it's just a great game. And you're wrong. It will not be a sellout. We will sell you a ticket. It don't matter. We'll sell you a ticket because the state gets half of them. So us and Ravenwood could use the money.
Well, they could. We're going to sell seats in the press box. I shouldn't have given that idea. They'll start charging us.
Yeah, we'll wear our passes for sure. Ron, what about schedule tomorrow after school with the team? Got to stay calm till you go out to warm up. But give us the run through, like, from the time school's out until you actually take the field.
It's pretty easy, man. To be honest, it ain't different. No different than any other home Friday. What we do as a staff is, we've got to set up all of our electronics. So we got to set up our headsets. We got to get the end zone camera set up. We got to get the pylons out, change down and disc markers. Our AED headset, we set up tents. We get everything ready. We start that right after school at about 2:50. We're done with that right around 4:15. The guys that want to eat, we always send one coach to pick up sandwiches for guys that want to eat pregame. They'll eat. Our varsity players will come back in and start being taped at 4:15. At 4:45, all varsity guys have to be in. 4:55 is our first team
meeting. 5:15, all the JV players have to be in. So we'll meet and walk through from that time on. At that point, we will walk out at 5:55. Our specialists will walk out and warm up. 6 o'clock, all the specialty, 6:10, flex, 6:20 individual, 6:30 kick, 7 o'clock, kick off.
I like a man that has a timetable.
I think he's done all this before, Stormy.
This is good. By the way, I got to tell you, we're going to have Matthew Team Sports has sponsored our halftime interviews for the whole season. Also for basketball, we thank them immensely for their participation and support in our broadcast. We're going to have Mr. James E. Parker on tomorrow night. He'll be number 427 consecutive ball game.
I mean, who can say that? I mean, how cool is that, Bill, man? I think what it shows is, you know, Avery and Tank mentioned it, man. Love. How much does he love that school? The kids still know him. He pours into him because he still subs. You know, he's always around. He's never asked for anything. You know, I need to get him a T-shirt or something, man, a jacket, something. But he's been such an unbelievable, unwavering supporter. You know, win or lose, he's there. It's a fine, positive word to say. And everybody that sees Mr. Parker needs to understand he loves Brentwood High School. Not just Brentwood High School football, Brentwood High School.
That's true.
And it is that, man. He loves education in our county. So, I mean, he's had an impact at in Ravenwood as well because of his time at Woodland. So I think he loves our community and certainly public education in our community.
Well, it's going to be a lot of fun. And each year, Marcus and I and Terry, when you were done, we always say, okay, what number is it again? But I kept chart 427. We got it. Garth Nolan's going to interview him tomorrow night, and I'm just disappointed I don't get to do the interview. But I was superseded on that.
I won't get to 45. I won't get to that many games if I coach 10 more years here. I'm planning to go till I'm 67, so I'd like to coach 10 more years. So I'll never get to that game. I don't even know what I'm at now. But that's a good question. I'd like to figure out how many I've coached.
Yeah, well, let's do that after y'all win the state title, bring the gold ball back, and put it. Both cases, you got 5 minutes to go. Okay, I don't have to have stretching. I'll do this. Okay, we can figure that one out.
Well, he got a little bit of a head start on you because the school opened, what, 82 or so, 83, something like that?
Yeah, 82.
So that's where his streak started.
Yeah, 20 years. Yeah,
exactly. Coach Crawford, we appreciate your time tonight, and always good to see you, and great job again, as always, and best of luck tomorrow night against Ravenwood. Should be a fantastic football game.
Man, I appreciate you guys and the station and what y'all do for sports in our community is awesome. You're great ambassadors for our schools. You may not know that. But the support you give all of our schools, I've never heard you guys be critical of any of our programs within our schools. I appreciate the way you guys handle yourself with character and class and the way you represent. It's my honor to always be around you guys. I'm appreciative of you.
Well, thanks so much.
Wow.
Can't say any more after that.
Thank you.
Lots of luck tomorrow night. We'll see you soon.
All right.
Coach Crawford rendered me speechless. No one else. Very few people have been able to do that. Got a lump in my throat. Thanks, Coach. That was put me in. I'm ready to play. I've got that new hip. I'm ready to run.
That's right. Ravenwood and Brentwood tomorrow night on AM 950, 6:30 pregame, and Stormy and Marcus on the call.
Oh.
Stormy, let's talk about it real quick, and we're going to talk about the other couple of playoff games. But what's important to you? You broadcast both these teams this year. What do you see is going to be really important for each of these teams? Because if it's 31-28 in September over at Ravenwood, Brentwood pull it out. What's going to be the difference tomorrow night in your opinion?
That's hard to pinpoint. One thing that sticks in my mind, both teams play from behind real well. Both teams play with a lot of poise. Both teams rarely turn it over. Both teams have excellent running game, excellent passing game. Both teams have excellent defense. Terry, I don't know. That's why we're going to tee it up. They're going to tee it up, and we're just going to call it just like we see it, and we're going to enjoy every minute of it. Both teams, they're so well coached. These are gentlemen of intensity, of intelligence, and of character, and they're sharing that with those young men on and off the field. And it's like I said, football is just happens to be the vehicle that Coach Crawford gets to pour his life into these young men.
Yep.
And all I know is I am just so thankful that I get to sit in a warm press box and relay what I get to see. These 65-year-old eyes get to relay what I get to see. Hopefully we can do it with some conciseness and some great descriptions.
Yeah, and Stormy, these are evenly matched teams. Like Coach Coach Crawford just said. And really, I think a coach's cliche that we hear all the time is very true, and that is the team that makes the fewest mistakes is probably going to win this game. It may be a fumble. It may be an interception return. It may be a kick return. We don't know. But usually when you get two teams like this, that's generally the team that wins it. So,
well, if you look back, a year ago when Raywood came in and Garcia was a sophomore, they're playing at Brentwood. The ball game turned out to be the difference was the special teams play. There was a couple, there was a block punt, there was a block field goal. As a matter of fact, that Raywood took it to the house. Both these teams are blessed with good special team players. I don't know. To be honest with you, I don't know. All I know is I'm going to be on the road, Lord willing, a week from Friday.
You will be.
And I'm going to go to Memphis. I've got family still down there. I'm going to be either at Whitehaven with Coach Rodney Salisbury, or I'm going to be at Germantown. And now Marcus will not be going with me. Marcus says, can't make the trip because he's got work, but I'm going to let everybody know right now, Mark McDonald, athletic director of White Station. He and I played ball together in college. Great kid, great young kid. We're old men now. Wonderful AD, great man, knows basketball, baseball, football. And matter of fact, he's an official in what league, whatever, MTSU, Murray State, what is that, OVC? Yeah.
Well, not MTSU, Murray State's in the OVC with Austin Peay and
Tennessee. He's an OVC official on basketball and baseball. So Mark knows his sports. He's 66 and he's still calling ball games. And he's, my wheels are wearing out, Mark. They're supposed to.
I know that feeling.
At this age. But we'll have that. He'll be a lot of fun. And we've had Mark on several times in the past when they came up, when he was at White Station, when they played Franklin. They also, when they played Brentwood and some other in Independence, we've had Mark on there. He knows his stuff. He'll be real entertaining.
Mm-hmm. So next Friday night, semifinals in Division One. It'll be either Ravenwood or Brentwood traveling to Memphis to take on either Germantown or Whitehaven.
The good news is there's great food no matter which location we go to.
That's exactly right. Stormy, we'd be certainly remiss if we didn't mention the Fairview Yellow Jackets, 33-22 last week over East Nashville, and it'll be the first time ever that Fairview has hosted a third-round or quarterfinal playoff game. Congratulations to Chris Hughes. He's got a tall order tomorrow night. Don't be misled by Stratford, his opponents,
who's 4-8.
Who's 4-8, but they beat Pearl Cone last week 32-27, and they also lost during the regular season to CPA, Hillsborough, and Maplewood, all playoff teams, all doing very well. And for Chris Hughes' defense, Stormy, you've got to be concerned with a junior named James Moore, who gained 320 yards last week in Stratford's win over Pearl Cone. He's got 1,800 yards rushing, so if Fairview can slow him down, they've got a chance to win this game. But having said that, you got to feel a whole lot better if you're Chris Woods going up against Stratford tomorrow night as opposed to Pearl Cone, had they won.
Coach Chris Hughes, they're playing at home. You've got the Harris kid at quarterback, the Harris Lus kid at wide receiver, the biggest offensive line Fairview has ever had. And forgive me, I just went blank on the good running back. He's just a sophomore.
That's Logan Nardozzi.
Thank you, Nardozzi. And he does a wonderful job for Fairview. And I went on the line and I picked the Stingers. I picked Yellow Jacket, and they're going to play the winner of the Milan
Covington
ball game. If I had to bet on that one, I would take Covington. The Chargers, year after year after year, are really good at that. Now, unfortunately, that game will be on the road next week for Fairview if and when they get by Stratford.
That's right, and that's a big if, Stormy. You're exactly right. As a matter of fact, Covington undefeated, by the way, 12-0 right now, so it's a very good football team. But first things first, good luck to the Yellow Jackets tomorrow night. It'll be a wild environment over at Fairview tomorrow night.
Mean machine. There you go.
And Stormy, BGA 30-10 over Webb last week. They've got a little rematch tomorrow night, right about a driver for you from where we are right now.
Well, driver three wins away.
Something like that.
Yep.
Franklin Road Academy, who BGA defeated 14-3 earlier this season, comes back after a miraculous, and I mean miraculous, comeback over Notre Dame last week.
They're down 30-6 at halftime at Notre Dame. And I don't mean the Irish and West Mint. We're talking about in Chattanooga. 30-6 and win the ball game. Wait, what? How do you
don't know how it happened, but it did. 34-33. So here's FRA. And Stormy, you remember when BGA just beat them 14-3 in the regular season. That's a very good football team coming in here. Bill Whittemore has got them playing well. So Rock Batten will tell you he's got to be ready to play. But if they win that game, they're going to go to Cookeville in 2 weeks, and they're going to take on the winner of guess who?
CPA ball game.
That's exactly right. And what a dandy football game that's going to be over at CPA.
Boy, that's like going from the frying pan into the fire. We hit neither one of those two.
Ooh, Eric Gray, two-time Mr. Football, going against Kane Patterson, maybe the top linebacker in Williamson County, and headed to Clemson.
He's going to Clemson,
Yep. And so I tell you what, that's going to be a packed house over there too for that one. You can count on that at CPA tomorrow
night. Get there early.
Get there early. And Brentwood Academy, last week, 21-14 at Christian Brothers. We knew it wouldn't be easy, and it wasn't. But guess who? They have their old nemesis tomorrow night. They're at MBA, who knocked off Briarcrest last week, 10-3. Marty Uvarod, he's always hanging around, and Brentwood Academy's won 3 in a row in Division II and AAA. I'm not sure. It would not surprise me if MBA wins that game tomorrow night. I'll just put it that way.
It would surprise me. Well, I mean, either one. But usually the team that wins the first game does not win the second game. That's been the pattern.
And that was MBA in overtime by 1 point. Won the first
game. And I sat there and looked at that pick, and I flipped a coin, and they said, "Do you want to call a friend?" I said, "I don't have any friends." As for crowd participation, and there wasn't any crowd. So I broke the name, threw a dart, closed my eyes, and broke a window. No, but I wound up picking BA just because they lost the last one. That's not a scientific way to do it.
Well,
my story, and I'm sticking to it.
If you're a Brentwood Academy fan, you feel better because last week, Wade Williams had 155 yards passing. And we've talked about during the season, they have not been able to throw the football.
No.
That's how they lost to McCauley, for one thing.
Yep.
And they run the ball, play. Pleasant's a good running back, but they've got to be able to open it up, and that's going to be a dandy football game tomorrow night at NBA.
It's going to be fun. Either way.
And Stormy, speaking of your picks, for the listeners who may not know what you're talking about, we're talking about the Williamson Heralds contest, and after all the smoke has settled, you, my friend, are still only one game behind
tied for second.
That's the kid, Derby Jones, Jr., and he's got a one-game lead, and you are tied for third, as a matter of fact.
Tied for second. I'm telling you, but you know what? We looked at the picks.
But there's 4 games difference this weekend.
And there's 5 or 6 with the Fountain. We're gonna have we're either gonna be in fourth place or we're gonna be in first place when this is over next week.
Well, it's feast or famine. That's the way.
Problem is the good news is we go 20 more weeks. We've still got another. I don't know. We'll be playing all the different bowl games, and
that's when the rubber meets the road.
You talking about crazy picks? This is nuts.
All right, Stormy, I'm gonna get your pick here. Quarterfinals tomorrow night. Let's look at it. 6A, it's Farragut at Maryville. Your thoughts?
Maryville.
All right. Oakland and Mount Juliet.
I can't go with Mount Juliet. I just don't think they've got the horses to take care of Oakland.
I got to agree with you, Storm, but I got to tell you something. Mount Juliet rolled over Blackman last week.
That was a shock.
Well, Mount Juliet's undefeated. I haven't lost.
Trey Perry can coach. Listen, we went out there, 5 years ago, and when Brentwood played them, and all of a sudden it was 35-14 and a half.
And that's at Mount Juliet. That's going to be a dandy, no doubt about it. Now, in Memphis, you got Whitehaven. In Germantown, and the first game this year was Germantown all over Whitehaven, 37-19.
I think it'll be closer, but it's always tough picking against Rodney Salisbury and the Whitehaven Tigers, but I'm going with Germantown, only because I haven't broadcast a game from there yet.
Well, and
I want to see what it's like.
Well, not only that, Germantown's undefeated. They're a very good football team.
Yes.
They're legit, there's no doubt.
Yep.
Show me 5A in the lower bracket, Beach. Who knocked off Page last week, 21-14, Heartbreak Hotel. I'm telling you, Page turned it over 4 times. Need I say anymore?
Turnovers are great in the kitchen. If it's called Pillsbury, it's not good if it's on the football field.
And they have got that grinding running game again, 302 yards on the ground. They've got Hillsborough tomorrow night. Should be a great football game. Hillsborough, I was going to say it's at Hillsborough. It's Hillsborough's home game, but they don't play any home games this year.
They're playing at Hillwood.
That sounds about right, maybe.
If I had to pick on that game, I'm going Hillsborough.
Hillsborough, he says. I would agree. Henry County at Kirby. 2 very good football teams. Kirby is 11-1. They beat Southwind last week by 2. And Henry County rolled over Ridgeway. So you're saying Kirby playing Simmons?
I don't think Henry County can handle the speed of Kirby. Now, of course, I've been wrong before. Dumb things to say. But then again, they beat Ridgeway. But I don't think Ridgeway had an off year this year. The Roadrunners were not as
very true. Very true.
So I'm going with the Memphis smoke on that one. I got to go with Kirby.
I would agree with that. Jomica, hats off to Paul Dedrick over at Derek, over at the Nolensville. They didn't get it done last week. 28-3 to Maplewood, who plays Tulsa. Oklahoma tomorrow night, but I can only say one word about that game. And then you know what that one word is? Bobo Hodge, 291 yards passing, 97 yards rushing.
That's 15 words.
Bobo Hodge has had 380 yards of total offense, and they've got a rematch with Tullahoma tomorrow night in the quarterfinals in Class 4A, a team they beat 14-6. That's going to be a dandy.
Where's that game being played?
At Maplewood.
Maplewood. Panthers. Yep. Panthers roll.
But Nolensville had a great year. They ended up 7-5, and what a great job they did over there.
First senior class.
Yes, that's right. Of course, Fairview tomorrow night against Stratford, Covington, Milan, and the other bracket. But all roads in AAA, as we know, lead to where? Alcoa. So I won't say any more.
That's true. Well,
so there you have it.
We'll be on the air tomorrow night, 6:30. Marcus Stone and myself, the Storm and the Stone, will be bringing you the broadcast. Pre-game, 6:30, kickoff at 7 p.m. from James C. Parker Stadium. Garth Boland will be in at halftime to interview Mr. James C. Parker himself, and that will be because it's Matthews Team Sports. Appreciate their sponsorship. Made a difference.
Absolutely, Stormy Ryan. And we wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving. We won't be here next Thursday night. You'll be on the air next Friday night from Memphis, as you said earlier, and, of course, tomorrow night, 6:30 from Brentwood High School. So everybody have a great Thanksgiving. Stormy, thanks.
Thank you, Keelan Fisher, Terry Merrill. This is Stormy Mitchell. Y'all tune in tomorrow night for the WAKM game, not of the week, but of the year. Good night, everybody.